Welcome to the first episode of Fight Night Picks Podcast. Let's let the beat drop. There we go. Didn't miss a beat drop. All right, so first episode of Fight Night Podcast. I'm really looking forward to releasing about two podcasts a week. I'm hoping for Monday or Tuesday, depending on when I can release them. And then we'll definitely be recording podcasts on Friday. So the reason for a Monday-Tuesday format and then a Friday, Monday-Tuesday will be simply so that I can cover the fights that were that weekend and that past week. And then on Friday, we're going to be able to break down and give our analysis on the fights coming up. So the big focus for us is combat sports. Mainly, we're going to focus on UFC and Bellator, like every other podcast, website, you name it. Those are the two organizations that most websites and publications focus on. But we're also going to put our own spin on, you know, 1FC, ACB, Fight Nights Global, Glory Kickboxing, WBO, WBC, IBF, Boxing. So it's going to be a true fighting podcast and combat sports oriented company. So currently right now we're at Fight Night Picks on Twitter. You can find us at Fight Night Picks on Facebook, and as well fightnightpicks.ca. The website just launched this week, and you're definitely going to be able to see more and more content, different pieces on there. So, you know, we're gonna have more coverage on the lesser known leagues, more exciting and more intriguing fights. And then at the same time, we're located in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. So we're gonna try and also cover local events. Locally in New Brunswick, we have LJAC Promotions. They cover MMA and boxing. And then in Moncton, New Brunswick, we also have Elite One MMA. So upcoming fights, you know, sit down with the promoters, sit down with local fighters. And you never know. I mean, down the road, we could try and branch off and focus on Nova Scotia, Maine, and the States. So, I mean, those are definitely really good opportunities for us. So why don't we start off by focusing on events from last week, where it is the first podcast. Last week was one of the bigger weeks in MMA, recent memory. And then we'll also get a spin on boxing. There were a couple bigger fights there last weekend as well. And then from there, we'll go to events this week and this weekend. It's pretty much an MMA-dominated weekend here this weekend. And then from there, we're going to focus on an up-and-coming fighter. You know, maybe some of you haven't heard of him or her. And then from there, we'll focus on some of the bigger fights that are coming up. You know, some that could have flown under the radar in some of the bigger promotions. And then from there, yeah, that's about it for our first podcast. So the events that took place last week, so everybody kind of knows about what happened with Conor McGregor. So him and his crew, they kind of stormed behind the scenes at the Barclays Arena in Brooklyn. It all stemmed, and not a lot of people are focusing on it, but it all stemmed from an event that happened earlier the day before with Artem Lobov and Khabib Nurmagomedov. For some reason or another, Artem decided to try and go after Khabib in their hotel. Khabib's corner, I say corner, Khabib's group, kind of confronted Artem, and then Khabib went straight up to Artem. Now, he looked like he was kind of scolding a young child. He had his hand behind Artem's neck, and they kind of talked, they kind of sparred, you know. And then it kind of escalated a bit more, but it didn't really seem like it was too much. It didn't really seem like anything that was going to boil over, anything that was going to ruin a parade. We still had all our fights on the card. And then the next day, Conor McGregor showed up at the arena. Arena staff somehow led him into the back parking lot where many fighters were aboard a UFC bus. And Conor tried to pick up a barricade, couldn't pick it up, so he picked up a dolly cart and threw it at the bus. He was obviously upset at Khabib. The dolly cart hit the bus, broke a window, and as a result, Michael Chiesa, who was sitting next to Ray Borg, sustained a few minor cuts on his face. Now, if you have such minor cuts, you're not allowed to fight in any sanctioned fights. You know, the sanctioning committee in New York wouldn't allow that fight to continue, so the Chiesa fight was off. Ray Borg sustained some injuries where the glass had gotten into his eye, so his fight was off. So there's two fights that were off. Artem Lobov was set to fight against Alex Bruce Leroy Caceres. That fight was off because Artem was involved. So there we have three. Now, Rose Namajunas was on the bus, and she was so shaken up that she didn't want to stick around and talk to authorities. She opted to walk from the arena back to the hotel, which, from what I've been told, was quite a walk back, which was really, you know, disappointing for one. But at the second, you know, it really worries you that maybe that title fight would be off. And we already had one title. You know, Khabib was supposed to fight Tony Ferguson. That was a mega hype fight. That was supposed to be for the championship. Then we saw that Tony Ferguson had injured his knee. So Khabib was going to fight Max Holloway. Another super fight. You know, Holloway, such a respected champ in his own right. And if Holloway could have beaten Khabib and won the belt, you know, he'd be considered up in that legend status, that greatest of all time status. So that was the fight to be had. New York State Athletic Commission wouldn't allow Max Holloway to fight in that fight. It ended up that he was, I believe he was three or four pounds over the 155 limit. And for some reason or another, they wouldn't let him cut down to 155. So that fight was off. So we saw four different fights end up off the card. Number 2 ranked Khabib ended up fighting number 11 ranked Ally Kinta. So Ally Kinta, from all reports, wasn't the top choice for this championship fight. We had another fight on the card. It was Paul Felder and Anthony Pettis. And then we had Ally Kinta as well. So Felder, Pettis, or Ally Kinta, who's going to end up fighting for the championship? And it ended up being Ally Kinta simply because he was a ranked opponent fighting another ranked opponent for the championship. So Dana came out and said that if Ally Kinta won, he would be the champion. The commission said no, he wouldn't be a champ because he wasn't ranked. But before the fight, we could see it was number 2 against number 11. This was the same reason why Felder wasn't really considered for it, an unranked opponent. And then as well, Pettis was apparently in the running, but negotiations seemed to break down between him and the UFC because from all reports and all accounts, he had asked for more money. So that fight was also turned down. So it came out that Raging Ally Kinta was going to fight Khabib for the championship. And it was very surprising at the press conference after everything went down that Dana White was really thanking Al and singing his praises, which we've never seen before. I mean, Dana and Al don't seem to have the greatest of relationships. So the fight ended up happening. It was a really exciting fight, you know. In my opinion, first two rounds, Khabib won them 10-8. He mauled Ally Kinta. He took him to the ground. Really hurt Ally Kinta's eyes. And then in the next two rounds, rounds 3 and 4, for some reason, Khabib opted to stand and trade with Ally Kinta. I mean, Ally Kinta's got power. So that was really surprising. Khabib's corner and his coach, Javier Mendez, in between rounds, every round, he told him, you know, Khabib, end the fight, take him to the ground, maul him, do what you do, wrestle. But for some reason, Khabib decided to stand. And every time he went for a punch, he kind of kept his head up and his jaw up, and then he would punch straight into it. You know, it left his face open. But Al, and, you know, give him credit, he was kind of hunched down a bit, and he was always ready for the takedown. So he couldn't really get that extension and get into a punch hard enough that he could knock Khabib down. So, I mean, it was smart on Khabib's part. It was really smart on Ally Kinta's part. I mean, he's got nothing to lose in this fight. It was a great opportunity for him. So in the end, it was unanimous decision for Khabib. And all in all, it was a great fight. I mean, I know some announcers and some personalities didn't really agree with it. They didn't really think that Khabib fought to his fullest potential. There's a lot of people out there that are going to say, you know, Tony Ferguson's going to have a field day with Khabib if they fight for the championship. Connor's going to have a field day. You know, Khabib's not going to be the favorite in those fights. But I mean, in my opinion, Khabib's probably the best. He's the best lightweight there is out there. Best in the division. best in the world at this point. And I even saw today that Ben Askren called him out and said that he'd be able to out-wrestle him. I mean, I don't know. That'd be a great fight to make, but you never know. So let's kind of change turns a little bit. So the fight before that, co-main, was Rose Namajunas and Ioana Jędrzejczyk for the title. So it was a rematch. You didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, Ioana came into this fight. She looked really good. She was on weight. She didn't have any issues there. Really looking forward to the challenge. Rose was in her element. She seemed calm. It was kind of different from the first fight. You know, Ioana was really, really confident. She really thought that she was going to be able to beat Rose no matter where the fight went. And, of course, she lost. So, rematch, 223 in Brooklyn, not at Madison Square Garden. So, it went down, and it was a great fight. It was a five-round fight. They both traded blows. They both fought well. And Rose came out with a unanimous decision. And, I mean, she's really cemented herself on top of that division. She's definitely shown that she can stand and trade. She's got great submissions. She can wrestle the women in that division down. Definitely a force to be reckoned with. And I mean, for Ioana, you don't know really what's next for her. She can move up a weight class and go to 125. I don't know if she'll get the Nico Montano fight. She could fight Valentina. I think that would be a very difficult fight. I mean, not just with what Valentina did in her last fight, but she's a bigger fighter. She's used to fighting 135. I mean, you've got somebody that's used to fighting 135 versus someone who regularly fights, in 115. So it's going to be a really good matchup. Other fights in UFC 223 that I found really interesting, we had Zabit Magomed Sharipov versus Kyle Bochniak. If you don't know Zabit, and if you didn't know about him before, you definitely know who he is now. He's definitely one of the best strikers there is in the UFC. And he fought a Kyle Bochniak who, in his last fight at UFC 220 against Brandon Davis, I mean, it was a three-round fight. He won the fight. It was, you know, both guys kind of got punched out, and then in the last 20, 30 seconds of the fight, they said, let's go for it. I mean, Brandon Davis always brings it. Really exciting fighter. But, I mean, at 223, Zabit really brought what he had. We saw some spinning wheel kicks. We saw everything. I mean, excellent striking. And he didn't use all of his energy, and you could tell it. I mean, the guy can wrestle. He can seem to do everything. So he's going to be a really interesting guy to watch. And then we had some good fights on the undercard, highlighted by the last fight was Karolina versus Felice Herrig. That was a really exciting fight for me. I'd scored it, you know, it could have been 30-27 or 29-28 for Karolina. But it ended up going to split decision, which was kind of surprising. I didn't really think Felice had won any of the rounds. You know, one of them could have gone either way, but it seemed like a unanimous decision. So it's kind of nerve-wracking seeing Bruce Buffer come up and announce that it was a split decision. But all in all, that was a good fight too. And I mean, Kovalkiewicz, she's always there. She's always at the top of the division. She's a really exciting fighter, and she always brings it every single fight. So that was an exciting fight. And then for me, personally, I called this fight early in advance. Olivier Aubin-Mercier versus Evan Dunham. I knew Aubin-Mercier was going to win. I called it. I mean, he came out there and he put on a show, TKO victory over Evan Dunham. Really impressive. I mean, it kind of makes you wonder, where is he going to go next? Who's he going to fight next? I don't have any predictions. I'd love to hear yours. But that was a really exciting fight. So that was on Saturday night. On Friday night, we had a fight from Budapest. It was on tape delay on Paramount Network. So it was Bellator 196. I got a chance to watch it. And there were three fights in particular that were really impressive. So main event, Benson Henderson and Roger Huerta. Huerta never really quite made it, so everyone was kind of wondering what might happen. He hadn't fought in Bellator in quite some time. And then we had Bendo, who he hasn't really hit his stride since joining Bellator. It's been kind of difficult for him. You know, everyone, me included, kind of remember him fighting Anthony Pettis, and you see that spinning kick off the cage. It's a pretty cool highlight. But Henderson was able to finish the fight by submission, which is great. Moves his record up, you know, keeps him relevant for sure. And for Huerta, I mean, you don't really know what's next. Will he stay in Bellator? Will he keep competing? Will he go back, you know, regional circuit? Who knows? But all in all, exciting fight. We also had Boric and Nikolov. KO flying knee. It's one of the most exciting fights that was on the card. But to me, it was overshadowed by Ed Ruth. If you're not familiar with Ed Ruth, he's a Penn State All-American wrestler, two-time All-American champ, and he's one of those top prospects that Bellator has that you don't hear too much about. I mean, he's in that category with Dylan Danis, Aaron Pico, and then for me, Javi Ayala. That's another really good prospect that Bellator has, the heavyweight, who most recently competed against Roy Nelson. So Ed Ruth was fighting for the first time. It was a catchweight bout at 175. Against Pascu. So reason being why it was a catchweight fight, Ed Ruth had fought his first few fights, and first fight in Bellator at 185, middleweight, and he's trying to work his way down to welterweight. So one smart thing that I've noticed that Bellator will do for guys is that they'll allow certain fighters the chance to fight catchweight fights so they can make their weight, which is, to me, it's a great idea. You never want to have somebody miss weight, and you never want to have somebody have to cut and cut and cut and get injured. That's one of the worst things, obviously, with weight cutting. So Ed Ruth, he won the fight. It was a decision win. But, you know, things are only going to go up for him. He's a great competitor. He's got that next level wrestling, but also at the same time, his boxing is good. As long as he can, you know, plant his feet and trade, or, you know, even work on his footwork. You know, I know it's tough when you're a wrestler, you're used to a certain way, and then at the same time you're boxing, you know, your feet are kind of staying flat. But, I mean, as long as he can keep up that good takedown, takedowns, the takedown defense, and then as well keep working on his striking, he's going to be a really interesting guy to watch in a loaded 170 division in Bellator. I'm not saying he's going to fight Rory for the title tomorrow, but he's definitely got a lot of promise. And as well, last weekend on Saturday, we had Jared Hurd, and he fought Arislandi Lara. So, big boxing fight. It was for the unified IBF WBA junior middleweight titles. And it actually went to split decision. It was 114-113. Two judges scored it that way for Hurd, and 114-113 for Lara. It ended up, it was a 12th round knockdown that kind of secured the win for Hurd. So big win for him. And at the same time, on the same card, we had James DeGale versus Caleb Truex. So it was for the IBF super middleweight title, and DeGale won by unanimous decision. So, you know, just something to keep your eye on. And like I said, we're not going to totally focus here at Fight Night Picks on just MMA. We're going to focus on all combat sports. So whether it's kickboxing, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu tournaments, you know, could be anything. We're going to try and cover it all and have something for everyone. And last but not least, last weekend, it was on Saturday afternoon here in the Atlantic time zone, but ACB 84 from Slovakia. It was free. ACB posted them for free on YouTube and live. So I definitely took a look at that. Main event was Arbi Agujev versus Nishan Burrell. And it ended up being a unanimous decision for Agujev. I mean, he wrangled Burrell down. He dominated him all three rounds, and it was a good unanimous decision. So definitely another guy to look for. Another fight of note on the card, it was actually the co-main. So Jae Young Kim, nicknamed the MMA Panda, fought Roland Cabral. And they're both middleweights. Jae Young Kim's record's not going to blow by anybody, 23-11, but first round TKO win for him. So the MMA Panda, you never know, somebody you should pay attention to and keep an eye on. So we're gonna kind of change gears here a bit. We're gonna look at some upcoming fights. Just pull my card up here. So this weekend we have UFC on Fox 29 from Glendale. It's Poirier versus Gaethje. So it's a pretty big card, actually. Fox, they normally stack Fox cards. I mean, I've seen a few here and there that haven't been too stacked, but yeah, you get to see top contenders here, top lightweight contenders in Poirier and Gaethje. Two very similar styles. Gaethje, you know, 18-1 record. He stands and trades. He's a wrestler by, you know, by definition, but he's definitely a striker for sure. I mean, when you look at his older fights, it's pretty much all knockouts, TKOs, great fights. In his last two fights, he TKO'd Michael Johnson the end of the second round. That was fight of the night, performance of the night, and fight of the year. One of the best fights I've ever seen. And in his last fight, he got knocked out by Eddie Alvarez at the end of the third round in December. Again, another fight of the night. He's a really exciting fighter. To me, if you watch The Last Embedded, he is fairly one-dimensional. He does pretty much just stand and trade in the pocket. So, I mean, if you're Dustin Poirier, best bet, you know, you can stand and trade with him. Dustin Poirier definitely can. He's not one to get knocked out very often. But if you're Dustin Poirier, use some of that jiu-jitsu that you've been training. Take him down. Submit him. I mean, if we look at Dustin Poirier's last five, going back to 2016, so he had a win against Bobby Green, knockout. Great fight. It's free on YouTube right now if you want to go check it out. Fight after that, he lost to Michael Johnson by KO. And, I mean, a lot of people count Michael Johnson out. Michael Johnson's a great fighter. Beat Barboza, beat Poirier. I mean, he's definitely a top contender. He went down a weight class recently, you know, try and reset his career, and he ended up losing to the Damage, Darren Elkins. But overall, great fighter, and you can't overlook Michael Johnson. I mean, great, great fighter. So after the fight against Michael Johnson, Poirier beat Jim Miller by majority decision, and he had a pretty gruesome-looking shin. After that, we have the no contest against Eddie Alvarez, which I think myself and everyone everywhere would love to see Poirier fight Alvarez again. I mean, two really exciting fighters, just like Gaethje. I mean, not a knock against Gaethje that he's one-dimensional, but man, he's such an exciting fighter and a great guy for, you know, the UFC, a really good pickup. And then Poirier's last fight, TKO against Anthony Pettis, fight of the night. So these two guys, they rack up fight in the night awards like they're nothing. So we should definitely be able to see a fight in the night in this. That'll be fight in the night, I'm assuming. And I predict that we're going to see Poirier come away with a win. I want to say it'll end up being a knockout, but you never know with that newfound jiu-jitsu. You never know what he could have up his sleeve. So the fight before that, we've got Carlos Condit and Alex Oliveira. I'm not going to get into the fight into too much detail because I think Oliveira is going to come away with a win easy. I predict either first or second round knockout for Oliveira. Fight before that, we have new prospect Israel Adesanya fighting Marvin Vettori. Now, anyone I've talked to is very excited about Adesanya. I mean, and how could you not be? The guy's a beast. Won his first fight in the UFC by TKO. Really exciting performance of the night for that. And then before that, he was in the Hex Fighting Series, middleweight champ. A lot of hype behind the guy. And he's fighting Marvin Vettori, who, another young guy. In his last fight, it was a majority draw. And then before that, he beat Vitor Miranda, another decision. But he has some submission wins on his record, and he also has some KOs too. Big guy, Adesanya joked that he had a big head, so it should be pretty easy to hit. But that'll be a really interesting fight. It's tough to try and call. I mean, Adesanya is undefeated. Vittori's got a few losses on his record, so Adesanya 12-0, a lot of knockouts. I'm gonna predict, it's kind of tough, I'm going to predict it's going to go to decision. I don't think Vettori's going to get knocked out. I think his movement's going to be good. I think he's going to try and back up Adesanya. That's what he said so far. I think it's going to go to decision. And if I had to score it my way, I think Adesanya will probably win just based on striking alone and points. You know, Vettori might come ahead, and if Adesanya can land some combos, you never know. And I mean, it could be a knockout. It could be his 13th knockout in a row. Who knows? But I'm going to say Adesanya by decision. Fight before that, we have Michelle Waters and Courtney Casey. And that's a really interesting fight. You know, not a lot of people are going to focus on it. Strawweight fight. We just had a fight for the championship. So it's going to be, you know, overlooked. But I really think that, you know, winner of this fight is definitely going to move up. And they're going to be thrown right into the deep waters. So Michelle Waterson, we've seen her beat. She beat Paige VanZant. Courtney Casey lost in her last fight to Felice Herrig. And that was a really good fight. I mean, it was a split decision loss. They both fought well. I had Casey winning the fight, but good fight overall. Michelle Waterson, she's always an exciting fighter. She's lost her last two in a row. Lost to Thug Rose. No shame in that loss. That was in April of last year by submission. And then in the fight after that, she lost Tisha Torres by decision. Now, if I could give Michelle, if she's listening, if I could give her any, you know, suggestion in the fight, she lost to Tisha Torres in her last fight. So to me, Courtney Casey, Tisha Torres. Torres is obviously the smaller fighter, but she's always applying constant pressure. Her wrestling is good. As far as Casey, she prides herself on her wrestling and her jiu-jitsu, but we really haven't seen it. Her advantage is that she's a lot longer than Waterson, so strikes from distance could definitely favor her. As far as Michelle Waterson goes, though, her submission game is great. It's a shame that she lost to Rose, but Rose was really starting to hit her stride. My pick, it's either going to be a submission win for Waterson or it's going to be a decision win for Casey. But I really think Michelle Waterson's going to get out of the funk from losing two in a row. I think she's going to get the win against Casey, and we'll see it by submission. Probably be in the second or third rounds if we get a finish like that. On the prelims, your first, or I guess your last fight in the prelims, Tim Boach and Antonio Carlos Jr. Carlos Jr. really thinks he's going to come out swinging, but he's got Tim Boach in front of him. So if we look at Antonio Carlos Jr., his last four, well, his last five fights, he's 4-1. He's got a loss to Dan Kelly, you know, Judo Dan. And then he beat Leonardo Augusto Guimaraes. He beat Marvin Vettori by decision. He beat Eric Spicely by submission, rear naked. And he beat Jack Marshman. And that's a feather in his cap. Jack Marshman's a tough guy. Hasn't really had the greatest record lately, but he always puts on a show. And Tim Boach, I mean, you know, he lost to Jacare, but there's no shame in losing to Jacare. And then his last fight, he destroyed Johnny Hendricks with a great combo, you know, head kick and then punches. It was a good win. That was in June of last year, so we haven't seen him in a bit. And then before the Jacare fight, he beat Rafael Natal, which is, you know, you can't really judge that. It was in the first round. Beat Josh Salmon. That's a pretty good win. And then before that, he lost three in a row. Taos Ladies, Dan Henderson, Ed Herman. You know, he's got a bit of a checkered record, but if you look at the level of competition he's fought against, even down into you know, when he first appeared with the UFC, and I mean, he's fought in the UFC since 2008. Took a little bit of a break in 2010, but you look at Tim Boach, he's a company man. Originally from Lincolnville, Maine, so he's somewhat of a local guy. But in that fight, I gotta take Tim Boach, unless Antonio Carlos Jr. is able to wrestle him down and he's able to get one of those submissions on him. Boach, the stronger guy, tough guy. I'm gonna say KO for Boach. So another couple of fights on the prelims. We got Wilson Hayes and John Moraga. That's a really interesting fight. Hayes fought Demetrius Johnson, and you know what? I actually picked Hayes to beat Johnson in April of last year. Ended up losing by submission. Again, no shame in that. And then the fight after, he fought Henry Cejudo and lost by TKO. No shame in that. Henry Cejudo, one of the best bantamweights there is out there, and an Olympic gold medalist. So you can't really be too upset with those two losses. But John Moraga, you know, tough opponent for Hayes. Won his last two fights. Before that, he lost to Sergio Pettis, Mateus Nicolau, and Joseph Benavidez. But he's on a two-fight win streak. Hasn't fought since October of last year. But he got a KO. I mean, performance of the night in the bantamweight division. So for me, I'm going to go with Hayes on the rebound. And then our fight before that, middleweight bout, Christoph Jotko and Brad Tavares. Two good fighters, two good middleweights. Tavares is on a three-fight win streak where he beat Talis Ladies, Elias Theodorou, Canadian. And Christoph Jotko has lost his last two, so losing to David Branch and Uriah Hall. And that was David Branch that was just coming back to the UFC. It was a split decision loss. And then a KO against Uriah Hall. So for me, I would pick Brad Tavares to win the fight. You know, like I said, won three in a row, a split decision loss, and then two unanimous decisions. He's not really the flashiest fighter. If you look at his record, lost to Yoel, lost to Tim Boach, Whitaker, but he's beaten names like Nate Marquardt, Lorenz Lark, and the American or New York badass Phil Baroni. So he's got some bigger wins, but I really think that Tavares will get the win against Jotko. And we have six different prelim fights on Fight Pass, so to speak. You never know, they could always change. But Gilbert Burns, Dan Moret, Shayna Dobson, Lauren Mueller, Diego Lima, shout out Douglas Lima's brother, fighting Yushin Okami at welterweight. So we get to see Yushin Okami go back to welterweight. I mean Lima's, you know, he's hit or miss, so to speak. He's, let's see, in his last six fights, he's 2-4, with losses coming to Jesse Taylor, Li Jing Liang, Tim Means. And then he won. I mean, he's just really kind of coming back into the fold, coming back to the UFC. But he's fighting a guy, Yushin Okami, 36 years old, and he lost his last fight by Von Flu against OSP. Before that, he won a couple of fights in World Series of Fighting and PFL. But I don't really see that fight going Okami's way, unless he kind of hits a stride and is able to pull something crazy off. But I would think Lima would win. It's probably going to be a fight that goes to decision. And then another fight that really jumps off the page, you have Arjan Bueller fighting Adam Wieczorek, Polish fighter. Arjan, Canadian, he's 7-0. He beat Luis Enrique in his last fight by decision at UFC 215. Really exciting fighter to watch. I think he's going to be able to pull off the win. He's fighting a good fighter. Let me pull it up here. And we're going to check out Adams. I'm going to check out his record here. Because he's relatively new to the UFC. So, yeah. In his last fight, he beat Anthony Hamilton, who is a staple in the heavyweight division. You win some, you lose some. Anthony Hamilton. And before that, he fought out of Poland. That was pretty well documented in his last fight, too. Fight night 121, Verdum Tabora. And he also, kind of funny, he's 9-1. He's got three wins by KO or TKO, five submission wins, one decision. And his one loss was a decision against Marcin Tabora in Poland. So I mean, he's a good fighter. He can get some finishes, but I think the Canadian's going to be able to pull it off and get the win. So that's UFC on Fox, 29 from Glendale. That's going to be on Saturday night. And then on Friday, we have Bellator 197 from the St. Louis area. Local boy Michael Chandler is going to fight Gertz. Chandler's probably one of the best lightweights in the world, let alone in Bellator. His freak accident there against Brent Primus, you know, nobody can ever plan for that. That kind of thing. It happened. It is what it is. He's definitely going to be able to bounce back from it. I think it's ridiculous that Primus, I mean, he got injured, I guess. That was supposed to be the fight. It was supposed to be a fight for the title. But instead, Chandler's going to end up fighting Gertz. You know, I don't really see a way that Brandon Gertz is going to win this fight. I've got Chandler to win by inside decision, whether it be KO or submission. Most likely go with KO. And then another couple of interesting fights that are on the card. We got AJ McKee fighting Justin Lawrence. You know, McKee's a staple in the Bellator brand. Should be an easy win for McKee. We also have Baby Slice, Kevin Ferguson Jr. fighting Devin Brock. Ferguson Jr. is 2-1 so far. Should be a pretty easy win. You know, he's a prospect in Bellator. He's not to the same level as Ed Ruth, Aaron Pico, but he's got the name, and you know what? His skills are pretty good, so I've got him winning that fight. And then another good story, and it's on the undercard. Josh Sampo is going to fight Dominic Mazzotta. So Sampo, he's kind of been away from the spotlight for a while. His last fight was in 2015. He was 1-3 when he was in the UFC. He kind of had some issues away from MMA, from what I've read. His father passed, and there were some other things that came up. So for him, it was a good time to take some time off, kind of reset. Reportedly, he's a science teacher, so he's got a really good background to fall back on. And he's fighting a Mazzotta, who's 13-2 with 9 sub wins, and his only big loss came to AJ McKee by head kick knockout. So for me, it's kind of unfortunate. You know, you want to cheer for Sampo. You want to see a good comeback win, but I really think that Mazzotta is going to be able to come away with a win. And I'd even pick him to win by submission. Should be a good fight though. And then as far as boxing is concerned this weekend, there's no big boxing fights. You know, there's some different promotions and some smaller fights, but no big title fights. No really big televised, you know, an event that you have to see, like Joshua Parker or, you know, Deontay Wilder. Not just that those are heavyweight fights and they're exciting, but there's not a whole lot coming up. Probably the next big boxing fight that I've seen on the schedule is Adrian Broner is going to fight April 21st in Brooklyn. So that's definitely one to keep your eye on. So from here, we're going to spotlight an up-and-coming, exciting fighter that, you know, maybe some people haven't heard of. So in episodes coming up, I'm going to focus, you know, like I said, Fight Night Picks are going to be combat sports. We're not just going to be MMA. We're going to be boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu competitions, you know, maybe Sakuraba and Josh Burnett's new grappling promotion, which had its first run today, and it's available on Fight Pass, so you never know, maybe go check it out. But spotlight for today, for this week, it's a fighter who fought last in February, so it might be fresh in people's minds. It was on Bellator 194's card, where Roy Nelson took on Matt Mitrione, and Mitrione was able to pull out the win and advance in their heavyweight tournament. It's actually Vadim Nemkov. So he's 25-year-old Russian, 6 feet tall, fights in the light heavyweight division. He's 9-2, so he's got a good record. Young guy, got 8 knockouts, 1 submission win, and he's been knocked out once, and he's lost by decision. Now, those two fights, they both happened in Ryzen. Lost to Carl Abrekitson and Yuri Prahaksha. So, I mean, their losses in December 2015 and then April 2016. Since then, he's won four in a row. TKO win, KO, KO, TKO. And that last TKO is the most impressive. So leading up to his fight, scheduled fight Liam McGarry, you know, people were kind of saying McGarry's going to be able to get the win. It's going to propel him back to the top of the light heavyweight division in Bellator. If he gets the win, you never know what could happen. His last loss came against Linton Vassell. Won against Brett McDermott, and then before that lost to Phil Davis. So he's always been in title contention in Bellator. Was a champ. You know, he can win every different way. He's got good jiu-jitsu, great striker, really tall guy for the division. Long legs for sure. He's 6'6", 205, so not comparing him to a guy like Alexander Gustafsson, but he's got the length and he knows how to use it. So Vadim Nemkov, you had a six-inch reach or height difference between the two of them. But going into the fight, I kind of had a feeling that Nemkov was going to have a good chance. You know, wearing the Eagle MMA shirt, walking into the ring, full of confidence, associated with the Alexander Nevsky Club. So he really had everything behind him. And then the fight got underway, and you could really see the potential of Vadim Nemkov. He ended up winning by TKO, like I said, by leg kicks to Liam McGarry's left leg. And if you look at Liam McGarry and the way that he stands, it's not to say that he's flat-footed, but he does put a lot of weight on that front foot. And there are a lot of fighters that do, but it was to his detriment in that fight. Nemkov just continually attacked that leg, and he was able to pull off the win. And it was a really, really impressive fight. So, you know, not that there are any fights announced for Nemkov anytime soon, but definitely a fighter you should keep your eye on, especially if you're not totally into the Bellator brand or if you haven't really given it any thought. If you do see his name pop up online, definitely look for some of his older fights. Maybe not the two losses in a row in Ryzen, but he's definitely a guy to watch. So we're going to get into some top announced fights that are coming up. They're upcoming for, you know, the next few months. They might have flown under the radar, or they might be some of the bigger fights that are out there. So let's get started. So the first top announced fight that, you know what, I think it actually did fly under the radar. CM Punk will fight Mike Jackson at UFC 225 in Chicago. There was a lot of talk everywhere online, and you know what, me myself included. Everybody wants to see Floyd Mayweather fight CM Punk. It would be entertaining. It would be moneymaker for the UFC. But, you know, this fight's scheduled for June. 0-1 CM Punk, 0-1 Mike Jackson. Punk lost to Mickey Gall. Mike Jackson lost to Mickey Gall. So somebody's got to win this fight, unless it goes to a draw, I guess. So it should be pretty exciting. You know, it'll sell tickets. CM Punk, obviously being from the Chicago area, it'll be entertaining for sure. And if you look at Mike Jackson, 0-1 as an amateur, 0-1 as a professional, but he's getting a chance to fight CM Punk. So he gets a win, you never know what could happen. I mean, Mickey Gall's star rose so much from that CM Punk fight, and then it rose so much more from his fight against Sage Northcutt. I mean, he lost his last fight against Randy Brown, but Mickey Gall is definitely another young fighter that you have to watch. So another fight that was announced, whether it flew under the radar or not, I'm not totally sure, but Ricardo Lamas is going to fight Mirsad Bektik at UFC 225. Lamas is ranked 7th in the division. Bektik ranked 12th. Poor Lamas in his last fight fought Josh Emmett. He was ranked 3rd, Lamas was. Emmett was ranked, I think he was ranked 11th in the fight. He might have been 9th, but 11th or 9th. And Emmett ended up pulling off the upset KO victory, which skyrocketed him, obviously. He went to the top of the division and ended up losing to Jeremy Stephens. But Exciting fight nonetheless. Ricardo Lamas, always a top contender. Mirsad Bektik in his last fight looked amazing, so it should be a good fight. And UFC 225 is definitely shaping up to be a great card. You've got Yoel Romero fighting Robert Whittaker again for the true middleweight title, so it should be a good fight. I also saw that whether it hasn't been announced or even talked about by the UFC, but I've seen rumblings that Jeremy Stephens could fight Jose Aldo July 28th in Canada. The card was first talked about by the UFC last weekend at the press conference. It was shown a few times, and it was shown once or twice during the broadcast. I've heard that the card could be in Calgary. Edmonton currently has a one-year ban on combat sports, so if it's going to be in Canada, it's either BC or Alberta, and it'll most likely happen in Calgary. Definitely going to be an exciting fight. Early prediction, I'd say Stevens will win by KO, but you never know. Jose Aldo could come out and look like the Jose Aldo from the pre-Conor McGregor Jose Aldo. Another couple of fights that were announced at UFC Utica. So you got your main event, Jimmy Rivera fighting Marlon Moraes. Fight was supposed to happen last December. Moraes missed weight, and Jimmy Rivera challenged him. I think he even offered to go up 15 pounds from the weight class. Bantamweight going up 15 pounds, definitely not a great idea, but they're going to headline that UFC Utica card in New York on June 1st. And then another fight that was announced, or at least it was talked about, was Bilal Muhammad against Nico Price. Bilal Muhammad can hit hard. Last one was a split decision win, but really good fighter. Fighting Nico Price, who is a really shifty kind of guy. Definitely an interesting fighter. That's going to make some moves here this year. If he didn't already last year, he had a great 2017, and he should have a great 2018. And, over the next few months, fights are just getting better and better. And then once you get into International Fight Week in Las Vegas, I think that's when we're going to see some of the best fights. So that just about does it for our very first episode of the Fight Night Picks podcast. I just want to give a shout out to local band Monteith. We're in talks that we're going to have a Monteith produced musical segment at the start of the show, and maybe an outro as well. So last weekend, Monteith was able to win the final Folly Battle of the Bands here in Fredericton. So it gave them an opportunity to perform at Folly Fest in June in Gagetown. Pretty local concert, but it's a really good opportunity for the guys. They're also going to be featured at the Maritime Metal and Hard Rock Festival July 6th and 7th in Windsor, Nova Scotia. And they're going to be touring at the end of July. So you can find them on Spotify. Look up Monteith, or for their album Monteith Mania. My favorite song on there is Abyssinaut. It's a great tune. They're a great rockin' band. They kind of sound like the older thrash metal bands from the 80s. Really good sound, and I'm really looking forward to collaborating with them on the podcast. So hopefully everyone enjoys the fights this weekend. Make sure to visit us at Fight Night Picks on Twitter. On Facebook, we're Fight Night Picks, and then at fightnightpicks.ca, the website's going to continue, and hopefully I'm going to be able to have the podcast up on iTunes here soon. So thanks a lot for listening, guys.